brief meeting with you and you after.
Yeah, but we also need to help getting the furniture back into the electric room.
Oh, okay. Well, let's have a brief meeting after that. Can you do that?
Who's able-bodied?
Anybody able?
Able-bodied.
Back into the electric.
All right. Romans 4. Able-bodied's becoming a non-term around here.
We need the boys to get a little older. Yeah.
They'd probably be good for them to start to move furniture.
They can certainly help. They helped on the office move.
Verse 18. It's talking about Abraham. It said, "Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken." Then this declarative sentence, "So shall thy seed be." No debate, no theology. So shall thy seed be. The only question is, who is your seed? If the seed is Jesus Christ in you, then it's everything by that declarative sentence, everything is non-negotiable. But it entails having hope against hope. Now, to me, the biggest hope chapter in the Bible is Isaiah 50. So that we can see what hope really means. What? You have a very pained expression. You're very pained? Let's go to Isaiah 50. Thus saith the Lord God, or thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? In other words, he's saying, you understand what he's saying?
Sarcastic.
He's being sarcastic.
Why do you think I've abandoned you?
Yeah, he's being sarcastic.
They say the Bible's not funny.
The idea, you remember, every time anybody, including you, gets in trouble spiritually is because for a split second you believe God has forsaken you. And the instant you believe God has forsaken you, then you have to lean on your own arm of understanding to come to a position. You have to get some ideas. So shall thy seed be. The promises of Abraham go not to the seeds as of many, but the one seed, which is Christ, which is your life. All right. Behold, for your iniquities have you sold yourselves, and for your transgressions has your mother put away. Now the idea here is, again, remember, iniquity is a technical word in Hebrew. It means self-seeking. For your self-seeking, you have sold yourselves. You have discovered yourself to someone else other than Him. And this is, I promise you, this isn't just the Buckner chapter of Isaiah 57. It is all men's chapter. Wherefore, when I came, there was no man. When I called, there was none to answer. Is my hand shortened that it cannot save or redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh because there is no water and dieth for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. And remember, the one of these things that is just blows my mind is the Star of Bethlehem that we've talked about so often. 65 million years ago, the star in the head of the coma, or the little child sitting on his mother's lap in the constellation Libra, I mean Virgo, supernova. And then all that time, the light was traveling. The light, 65 million light years. And it came at the proper time so that the Magi, who had been studying the true meaning of the stars, followed that star and certified his birth by the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, do you think it's any less here with you in any of your issues? His hand is not shortened, but it cannot redeem. He always has the power in there instantly to deliver, but it has to be about thy seed. What? You're doing it again, Gary.
Well, I mean, that's just everything.
Amen. The Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He waketh morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. And now this is the distinction. He even, this is talking about Christ, obviously, he even gave his back to the smiters and his cheeks to them that plucked off the hair, and he hid not his face from shame and spitting. Now this was the God of the universe that stayed in that position of dependence without going up to his mountains of the seven mountains of his mind where the whore is seated to try to come up with an answer to the situation that he was in. Never can you ever again lean on your own arm of understanding. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Now that has to be true in the smallest detail of your life, as well as the obvious biggies. There can be no more. You have to see that you are this incredible drug addict, that if you even taste or smell the next hit, it's your death. And until you get to that point, you will continue on in your self-seeking and excuse it. And this is why the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. There can't be any more negotiating with yourself. So shall thy seed be, and you'll never forget that. And this is the faith of Abraham.
Something just clicked in my head. The most perfect person, the most justified, I mean, just the best, had to suffer the most, the worst, the most unjust. The two extremes had to come together so that everything in between would be covered.
That's right.
And I never really saw that before.
He is near that justifieth me. Who will dare to contend? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near. Here, kitty, kitty. Behold, the Lord will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment, and the moth shall eat them all up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God, never leaving, And we're not talking about anything out here. We're talking about leaving in that moment when you think something is wrong. Because it cannot be wrong. A little bit. Now, the next verse that you've heard me talk about often, but hopefully it'll make sense with all the other the predicate of all this. Behold, the opposite of everybody's doing what he says there. Behold, all you that kindle a fire, that compass or surround yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your own fire and in the sparks that you have kindled. And this shall you have of mine hand. You shall lie down in sorrow. You got to know that by now. There's not a person living that doesn't know this. But all are suffering from mental illness. They think that by doing the same thing again, there will be different results. I watched religious television last night. First came T.D. Jakes, and his whole sermon was the power to get wealth. And I watched that for a while, and then I tried to go back to sleep, and then I turned it on again, and I watched Juanita Bynum as a guest on Joni Lamb's show. And there Juanita Bynum is talking about this is what you must do in order to prosper. And this is what led to me teaching on this, because it is every one of those great ideas that sounds so wonderful after the flesh. They're walking in the sparks of the light that they have kindled. And this you shall have of God's hand. You shall lie down in sorrow. Remember when we do, study the offerings and we, then in the first fruit, when you take and put everything in the basket, and then you put it, the priest takes the basket and puts it on the altar. Once something is in that basket and it touches the altar, then it is absolutely illegal. In fact, it's a death penalty for you to go back and smell it again or look at it again. So everything is about you staying. They that wait on the Lord. No more of this self-redemptive activity. Anybody have any response? Mr. Bojo? Good. And stop. Let the fear of the Lord be the beginning of wisdom.
The thing about not going back, if you put something on the altar, that it's on the altar, it belongs to God, it's not yours anymore at all.
Positive or negative?
Yeah, that's cool.
This thing about the suffering of Christ, he had to suffer everything so that anything in our lives is so that we know that it's included. I mean, from his viewpoint, it had to be totally wrong, completely wrong, and with all kinds of things he could have cited to prove that it was wrong, and still not do anything.
Take a review of the Buckner chapter, Isaiah 57. I know, but it's much more fun to name it the Buckner chapter. The righteous perish. No. Did you just say the Buckner perish?
Deliver me from presumptuous sin.
The righteous perish, and no man layeth to heart. The only one that's righteous is Christ in you, and he is perishing by your continuing to lean on your own arm of understanding. Remember, his humility is so great that he cannot occupy where you are.
No, that ties perfectly to the
not turning his face from the spitting and the insults.
All right.
He's not affected by it.
He was affected.
Well, just laid it down.
And merciful men are taken away, and none considering. The righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. But as for you, draw near here, you sons of the sorceress, the seed of the adulterer and the whore. Against whom do you sport yourself? Against whom do you make a wide mouth and draw out the tongue? Are you not children of transgression, a seed of falsehood? Inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree, slaying the children in the valleys under the cliffs of the rocks. Among the smooth stones of the stream is thy portion. They are thy lot. Even to them hast thou poured out a drink offering. Thou hast offered a meat offering. Should I receive comfort in these? Upon a high and lofty mountain hast thou set up thy bed. Even there wentest thou up to offer sacrifices. Behold, behind the doors also, and the posts that thou hast set up, thy remembrance. For thou hast discovered thyself to another than me. Now that just means you are giving breath to something other than him. And art gone up, thou hast enlarged thy bed and made thee a covenant with them, and thou lovest their bed where thou sawest. And thou wentest to the king, and the king with a small K. That means it's you went to Molech instead of Melech. Thou wentest to the king with ointment, and did increase thy perfumes, and did send thy messengers afar off, and did debase thyself even unto hell. Thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way, yet sayest thou not, there is no hope. For thou hast found the life of thine own hand, and therefore thou wast not grieved. And all the actions that you take at this point are called spiritual insanity. Because you've done all of these things before, and if you haven't done them, you know people that have, and yet you think that this time the results will be different. So, one takeaway from today is, so shall thy seed be. Again, back to chapter 4, Romans, verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Amen? No more negotiating. No more considering. If you don't know by now that all of your efforts are vain and empty, then you're just a fool anyway. Oh, but you have sweet ideas. No, you don't. You have childish thoughts that should have been. You're still playing mental tiddlywinks.
I was thinking about the positioning of this, where there's no sensory or mental perception where there should be any reason to behave wrong.
That's right. That's the point. The promise was Isaac as the type of Christ. Abraham's reproductive functions had just dried up. Sarah's womb was totally incapable of doing anything. And yet,
in spite of make sense to the mind.
This is the same thing through with Mary. Mary, you've never been with a man, probably 12 or 13 years old, married to somebody around 38 years old. She was betrothed, not married yet. She was, it was her worst nightmare. This couldn't have happened. That's why the word Mary means bitter. And in her bitterness and her hopelessness, she prayed to the Father, I'm sure. We don't have the record of that prayer. But she was without hope, and so she hoped against hope. And the thing that happened was so far greater than anything anybody could have ever imagined. Well, that same thing is true in you. Once you get rid of this idiotic idea that you have some competence. That's why we all grow old, to see even the competence we thought we had was stupid. So you don't go around bemoaning your lack of competence now. That's idiotic. It's a futile. Oh, if only I was young again. If I were just 20 years old again, then I'd do things different. No, you wouldn't. You'd do the same damn thing you did. So if you regret anything, then you can't leave. You can't ever taste what I've just spoke of this morning. If there's anything that you regret in the past, if there's anything that you wish were different, you can't hear these words. You might hear them as somebody, you know, listening to a song on the radio, but you'll 2 seconds later you will allegedly forget. It's kind of important. Anybody else have any response, Kevin?
Cheers.
That's nice. Take it, big guy. So after everybody helps Miss Joysanna, can Gary and